All right, welcome back. Four of the spring game round table here from Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill at 173rd and Center. Drop by
packed
for lunch.
Yes, yeah, it is.
It's a great lunch crowd, and you can get $7 burgers until 3.
Oh,
you put in your order. I heard pizza, so.
Yeah, big pizza guys over here.
Fantastic. Pizza guy.
Yeah, I heard about Nick cleaning the bones on my way in. Yeah, so
I'm
was
not
like,
going to leave any meat on those things.
Got a text from one of our listeners from the 803, which is South Carolina, that says, y'all are going to make fun of me, but chicken on a bone equals no good. So this is a child that's texting us, apparently, a five-year-old.
Chicken off.
First of all,
boneless wings is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. In other words, he likes chicken nuggets.
Yeah, he likes chicken nuggets.
That's literally what we called it. For my kids, was chicken on a bone.
That's wild.
When I was a kid, we called it
chicken. Yeah,
chicken.
Always blows my mind when I hear that. When someone's like, "I don't like fried chicken when the bone is in it," so I'm like, "What? Well, what are you talking
about? How do you typically have
it?" So you didn't call them chicken wings?
So you have smoked tenders?
No, he's talking about like fried chicken.
Yeah, like if mom said we're having chicken tonight, I knew it was fried chicken.
Yeah,
okay,
with the bone.
Yes,
right. But by the time I was a parent, we had to clarify for the boys it's chicken on a bone.
We're gonna have the bone. Just make plans accordingly for that.
These kids are so
because they don't like that, right? Or they
my kids are fine with chicken on a bone.
Okay, good taste.
Smart kids.
In fact, Christian used to love it. That's why he was
chicken on a bone.
Sounds like the name of a podcast.
It does.
Chicken on the bone.
And this, friends, is the spring game.
That's right.
Are you excited or what?
So, I guess back to one of the previous topics we had.
Mm.
Nothing that has happened this spring has moved, I don't think, anybody up or down. But with that being said, just let's take stock. Where are we at right now? We're talking about the real life season now. Win totals, things around that range. Are they going to a bowl game? Are they not going to a bowl game?
They are definitely going to a bowl game.
I think we all agree there, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yes, Gary.
Yep.
All right, good. How about 7? How about 8?
I can't go more than 7.
John's 7. Like a 10-2 guy right now.
I did not say 10-2. Oh, all right. I said a breakout is certainly possible.
Okay. 9.
Nine.
All right. Ooh.
That's two more than won't go.
I'll feel safe by saying 8, but I can see 9.
Right now, I think I would predict 8.
8 feels like the consensus number at the moment, which is amazing. I love this. This is great.
For a program that hasn't been to a bowl game in 7 years.
That's right.
Yep.
But they do have. I mean,
there's
a lot of pieces for them to have a path to consistent success. There will be guys that I think this year will look better because there are better people around them. For example, yes. I think offensive linemen that we've gone, what is wrong with you? Because they have a quarterback that's not going to hold on to the ball and do some things that when they scramble, you know where they're going.
Yeah.
We'll make offensive line better. There's wide receivers that will be better because the ball will be thrown to them properly. They're going to play a lot of guys on defense. I think by halftime of the UTEP game, they're going to have 23, 24 guys who have already played on that side of the ball. So I look at them after seeing them this spring. There's not enough where you go, man, that's a dude. Like you go and – like I've heard this when people have gone to Georgia this spring. They go, geez, dude. There are more of them. But I just think they're a good football team that's going to need – you know, some success, and then they're going to need some help from the sidelines. We talk about the players.
Yeah.
We talk about the year two jump. Matt Rhule's got to be better in year two as a coach in game.
I agree. Yep.
All of that kind of stuff. And maybe that also gives him an advantage. He's familiar with helmet communication, all of that stuff. But I think the sidelines have to be better as well. And, you know, maybe they will with Glenn Thomas being here and able to talk to quarterbacks coming off the field on how we're handling things. Yeah. I think there's more intangibles to get to 8 or 9 wins than there are, hey, they got that guy.
If you could tell me after the season what our opinion is of Glenn Thomas, I could probably give you a really good barometer on how good this year is going to be.
Yeah.
Because just having him and the experience that he has with these young quarterbacks, if he is able to just, you know, make things, and I've been really impressed with how they have talked about both Dylan and Danny and Heinrich about how they have grasped things and how they're reading things and how they're making checks and the kind of questions that they're asking. It really sounds next level. And I realize that there's, you know, two out of the three of them are still true freshmen. But I think part of that is having that guy there whose only job is to be their tutor. And you're not having to worry about Satterfield worrying about this, that, and the other thing. You've now got a guy here who is focused on that position, developing those guys, and you've got the natural physical abilities, especially of those two freshmen, that you can really play into that. I think this year it's just if you can mitigate mistakes.
Yeah.
If you can mitigate mistakes, you're already going to be ahead of the game. All it's going to take to be ahead of the game is mitigating mistakes.
Everything that I think of and why this year will be better than last year comes down to exactly what John just said, like just the mistakes. How much of even what Gary said, in-game coaching stuff, ultimately gets tied back to quarterbacks just putting the ball on the carpet, you know, or turning the 31 turnovers last year.
Yeah, end of the Wisconsin game, end of the Maryland game.
Yes.
You know?
So how much of that, you know, what we think about the coaches currently is just tied to simple, dumb stuff that happened last year and that not just theoretically, like will be better, first of all, by osmosis, but second of all, by talent increase.
Going to what John said, I think there's a really interesting discussion to be had of, like, the assistant coaches that tell the story of the season. He said, you tell me what the view is of Glenn Thomas in December, and we're going to know how the season goes. I wonder what the order of the assistants would look like in terms of, tell me how we feel about Donovan Raiola at the end of the season. What would that mean for the season? Certainly Satterfield would be very high on the list. Obviously, our priors are telling us that we are big fans of Tony White and really a lot of the
defensive coordinators
side.
Out, though.
Yeah.
Take the coordinators
out. Yes, like what does that look like? Okay. Who are the coaches that tell the story of the season?
That's a great question. How far down before you insert your first defensive coach?
Seriously.
Yep.
Are you going to the fifth?
Maybe.
I mean.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Glenn Thomas, Donovan Raiola
I think those
are
1-2. For sure.
And then.
Would it be Garrett McGuire third?
Garrett McGuire, because they're. How deep are they in the wide receiver room? And then
how they're responding to him.
I mean, I have to throw Satterfield in here because I think tight ends are going to be a key part. I know he's a coordinator, but he's coaching tight ends.
In terms of his coaching.
And then, hey, we're to fifth. What defensive guy would you throw in first?
I don't know which guy it would be.
Rob Dvorak?
Maybe
because
Rob Dvorak.
Questions at linebacker.
Just because of what you're replacing there. But I think still the confidence is decently high on him. Oh. If you remember when we were here in August, and I can't remember if it was Gary asked the question, John, it might have been you, but we were going over which coordinator had more pressure going into that season opener and as far as which side of the ball was going to have more pressure on them. So which coordinator are we going to be talking about one way or the other that's going to be another tell of the season? So now we get into the assistant coaches because you feel like you have more of an identity with Tony White. You know what to expect out of him. Marcus Satterfield is changing his role a little bit, but that's going to be a big part of it. This was something that I know we discussed. I know you guys have too. The chaos on the sideline every now and then. And we talked about, okay, how Glenn Thomas can help that and basically get into quarterback in a situation that when maybe there's mismanaging of timeouts and that communication on the sideline, you have a quarterback that knows the offense and is extremely even keeled that he's the one who stops the bleeding in that situation. He's the guy that essentially is making the right calls in the field. So you don't have to. So it mitigates safety what's going on the sideline. If there is that type of chaos, that guy's like, no, I got this because he's got that confidence. I don't think there was one person who took a snap last year that felt confident. And if the sideline was chaotic, it wasn't going to bleed into the huddle. I think if you can develop either a Dylan Raiola into that right away, and then you have that presence with Glenn Thomas, that's going to go a long way, too, I think, when it does come to that sideline communication as well.
I would say that instead of Garrett McGuire, I think E.J. Barthel is higher on the list for me.
Just because of the questions with the
Because the questions with the running back room. And I already had, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of how the rotation worked last year.
You were not.
In series. But,
I agree with that, Josh.
But because, you know, it sounds like Emmett is having a better spring, or at least, you know, he's becoming more of a focus. You wonder about, you know, how healthy Gabe's going to be. And, you know, we already talked about, you know,
Dowdell.
Thank you. But I think he, for me anyway, rises pretty high on that list of the assistants when I look down the line, because they're going to need a running game, and the running game's going to be very different than it was last year because you're not going to be asking the quarterback to get that many yards.
Essentially, we just did this, and the first five are all the offensive coaches.
Yeah.
But that, there's a reason. I think the best coaches, and it's not just off of last year, the best coaches in terms of working with a coordinator, back and forth communication, then implementing and be able to teach to their players that it goes from a position group room out onto the field and into a game is on the defensive side of the ball.
So we just all agree unanimously that we're not worried about defense like at all. Because I don't know that I would sign on to that. I don't know
there's always going to be concern. Yeah. I still think they need to do a better job of getting to the quarterback.
Because
and turnovers.
A leads to B, exactly.
We are all looking at the offense in the context of last year, and I just think it's so obvious because of how much of a disaster it was. It was like a train wreck last year. We're looking at it, and that's why we're looking at it so much. It's obviously going to get better. I don't know how much better. I don't know what their ceiling is on offense. Like, it's obviously going to get better. They have better wide receivers. They have better quarterback. They have a better structure. They had the offensive line is another year along. I wonder about some of the personnel that they lost on defense, and I wonder about some of what the offense will give to them and how that will affect the defense. You know, it doesn't make their job harder, but I mean, maybe there's a bit of, you know, pace and tempo and things that they can do that can take away from what the defense is doing. Like I said, I don't think their job is harder, but they have lost some personnel. I'm a little concerned about defensive backfield, you know? We haven't talked about that at all.
I just think the defense.
But they have Tony White, and they had the last year that they had, so we're all just like, it's good.
And if the defensive line is going to be good, it's like that solves a lot of problems.
But you also are not going to be on the field as much as you were last year.
That's
your hope.
Yes.
It sets the tone. So I think they all know what to expect out of each one of those defensive coaches. A preparation standpoint, there's that trust, there's that confidence. I don't want to say they don't have that confidence on the offensive side, but there are guys now changing roles. You bring in Glenn Thomas, so until you get into the live bullets of the situation on that side of it, I think it's still a little bit of an unknown.
I also don't think Matt Rhule would let Tony White repeat, our goal is to be the best defense in the country, if he didn't believe it.
Right.
He would say, man, Tony, they all have to be on the same page. So if the DC sees it and the head coach sees it, I don't think so. But if they were exactly the same as last year, and I gave all of you guys in this room a quarterback that was at 60% completion rate and a 2-1 touchdown interception, and the defense was exactly the same across the board, still had some warts, but there were things they did well.
8 wins. 9.
Maybe 10.
At least 8 wins.
Yeah, at least 8. and probably more than that because, I mean, they'll beat Maryland.
Yep.
They'll beat Iowa.
Beat Minnesota.
They'll beat Michigan State.
Yeah.
And Minnesota.
There's 4. That's 9.
There you go.
That's 9. Right there.
If
Nebraska has competent quarterback play this year, blank.
Is that what we're looking for on Saturday? Just want to see the competency.
Goes back to the fumbles that we talked about in the first segment.
It fixes
basic
everything.
Basic execution.
If the defense just stays static. If the defense,
you would take
standing.
That. You would take that. Like, obviously, you want it to.
Now,
be
it is crazy to think that that's going to happen.
That's true.
Correct.
I mean, there will be, just like last year, there will be things that surprise us. There will be things on the defense that will surprise us from a negative standpoint. But what you hope is that that the offense being better, you're not in as much quick change. You're not with your backs to the wall having to defend a 30-yard field instead of a 70-yard field.
That should help.
They're faster on defense, and they're better equipped this year to play in space.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which will help because it actually – and you don't want to get a false sense of the schedule isn't going to give you a bunch of challenging offenses right away. You know, Colorado will challenge you. But then when you hit Ohio State – and you hit those offenses that are going to be a little bit more dynamic. You're not just, here we go. And I use the example of the Riley year where you went 7-0, were ranked and went to Wisconsin, and then you got exposed.
Yep.
Big time.
Badly.
I don't know. We could have won that game in overtime, but not the next week.
It was the following week.
That's it. Great job.
Bye, Happer. We're going to go eat.
You guys don't seem very happy that we just accomplished
this. This was a great time.
Yeah, it's very special.
John, how about this? I got news for you.
The families don't meet very often.
What? Diana Russini is saying that the Rams are calling to get into the top 10.
Hey.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Okay.
I've also seen people saying they're going to trade out of the first round.
That'd be pretty
funny.
Do you know what, do you know what to do tonight?
I'm going to be riveted because there's at least some drama.
Riveted.
There will be a draft pick.
I'm more interested to hear the collective screams of pain and suffering from Viking fans if they do. Viking fans are
afraid
they're going to
do. Everybody thinks they're doing it, too.
Number five?
Especially if they trade up to
Trade up to number five.
Well, I don't want the pain trade up to number five. Surprise everybody and take him, and then that would be hilarious.
So how many highlights of J.J. McCarthy include that game in September?
Every time I see him on the TV.
Yep. Oh, I guarantee that first touchdown.
That stupid one. That wasn't even a great throw.
Yeah, but they show the rollout.
Caught on the back of the head.
But
then they show the rollout.
The rollout. That was crazy.
He goes left and he throws back.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I've seen that at least 10 times.
I see it once a day.
Husker fan, you're going to see your team tonight
again
in the first round.
So there you go.
And it won't be about Joe Burrow.
No, that's true.
You know he wanted to go to Nebraska.
We finally moved past that one. Maybe we have. I don't know.
That is the spring game roundtable here from Oscars. Please come out. Enjoy your lunch. You guys are good. Grab some pizza.
Bye-bye.
And then we'll see you at the crossover.
See you at the crossover.
Back with more next on 1620 The Zone.